Good morning. Can you hear me? Is it live? Good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started. If I can ask you to take some seats, we're going to begin our workshop meeting, which is both live and in the room. Okay, good morning. My name is Tracy Campbell. I'm going to be your meeting facilitator today. I'd first like to welcome you to the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Board workshop on the tentative National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES, permit and the Clean Water Act Section 401 Water Quality Certification for Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. The purpose for today's meeting is to present information, answer your questions, and receive public input on the draft permits that are necessary for PG&E Pacific Gas and Electric to extend Diablo Canyon's operations. This is both, as I mentioned earlier, this is both an in-person meeting here in Avila near Diablo Canyon, and it's also a hybrid meeting with some of our participants joining by Zoom. This meeting is being recorded, so I needed to tell you up front. About that. A couple of quick things, and then we're going to get into the presentations. A couple of housekeeping items for those of you in the room. There is water in the back. You can't have a water board meeting without water, so stay hydrated. That goes for all of our guests online as well. Please stay hydrated today and every day. Bathrooms are in the back towards the front entrance if you need those. And note that for everybody joining either in person or online that we will take a 10-minute break around 10:30. So if you have calls or business you need to attend to, we'll take a short break around then. So the guidelines for today's meetings are, they're in a form back there, but I thought I'd go through them real quickly. For participants in the room, we ask you please to mute your phone. To ensure that everybody can hear the important information that we're going to share with you today. If you need to take a call, we ask you to step out and take that at the break, or just step out and take that call outside. And for those of you participating with us online, you will be muted during this session until such time that you're recognized to ask a question or provide a comment. Give you a few more and then we'll get into it. Any individual today participating in both online or in the room who would like to ask a clarifying question about these permits must submit a full and complete question on the request to comment form. There's one online and there's one in a paper copy at the back of the room. You can check the box that says I'd like to ask a question during the question and answer period, and if you are in the room, we ask you to provide us with full question written on the back of the form. For those of you online, I will give you that the place that you can go in just a minute. Individuals wishing today to provide a brief comment during the comment period of this meeting must also complete and submit the request to comment form in order to be recognized to speak. If you do not submit a form by our deadline today at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time, you will not be invited to speak. So it's critically important, if you have any questions about that during this session, let any of our facilitators know. For those of you in the room who I mentioned, the printed form is in the back. We need the full question because it will be read. You will not stand up and speak to present it, but it will be read, so we need a full and complete question to be submitted. For those of you attending online, you can complete and submit that request to comment form. I'm going to give you a shorter URL, and I'm going to repeat it twice so that you can either take it down or put it in your phone. It's bit.ly/47HK1E. It's also on one of our boards here this morning, so if you're in the room, you don't have to jot it down because you can take a look on the boards or look at and take a photo of the QR code. But I'll repeat it throughout the day in this morning session so that you have it readily available to submit a form to ask a question or complete offer a comment. So today's agenda, let's get into it. Representatives from the Central Coast Water Board will make a short 20-minute presentation to provide an overview of the draft NPDES permit and the 401 water quality certification. Following the presentation, there will be the Q&A period. Again, you must complete that request form in order to be recognized. And finally, there will be an open comment period for individuals to provide a brief comment, 2 to 3 minutes maximum, unless we have more time. Again, we'd like to thank you for coming. And if you have any questions, there are 3 facilitators for this meeting in the room. Flag any one of us. We will help you with whatever it is you need. At this time, though, with all of the kind of guidelines and housekeeping put in order, I'd like to introduce the Executive Officer of the Central Coast Water Board, Ryan Lodge, for his remarks and to introduce today's presenters and guests. Ryan?
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you for everybody in the room and everybody participating online. Look forward to hearing your questions and engaging with you and receiving comments on the NPDES permit and the 401 certification for the Diablo Canyon Power Plant this morning. I'm going to do some quick introductions and start with our board. In the room, we have our board chair, Jane Gray. We have vice chair, Dr. Jean-Pierre Wolf. We have board member, Alex Rodriguez. We have board member, Dominic Rock. And then online, we have board member, Stephanie Harlan, and board member, Ann Hoskins. At this time, I'll turn it over to board chair, Gray.
Thank you, Ryan. Good morning, everybody, here in person and online. We want to welcome you to this public workshop. Thank you for the introductions, Ryan, and I just want to ensure that we're really clear. While all of the board members are here, we are all in listening mode. We will not be engaging in conversation or answering any questions, but we are listening to the proceedings today. So just wanted to clear that up. You're welcome to say hello, but other than that, we don't want really to engage on this permit. We have a board meeting in February where we will be hearing this item. So I'd like to welcome Kara Woodruff and Anna Shemlick. So Kara is with Senator Laird's office, and Anna is with Assemblymember Addis's office. So if you'd like to come up and make your statements, you're welcome to do so now.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Gray and members of the board. And thank you so much to Ryan and your team. Senator Laird has the opportunity to work with all of you on many issues across Senate District 17, and it's always been really fruitful and rewarding and informative. So thank you so much. I am Kara Woodruff. I'm the district director for Senator John Laird, and he is not able to be here today. He represents the 17th Senate District, including most of San Luis Obispo, including the Diablo Canyon Power Plant and surrounding lands. One of the goals of today's meetings is to coordinate with other federal and state agencies that are also providing permits in order for Diablo Canyon to extend until 2030 under SB 846. And so the purpose of my brief words here are to read a statement by Senator Laird. It doesn't pertain specifically to the regional board matters, but it pertains to issues relating to other permits that PG&E needs to extend Diablo Canyon. So I'm just going to quickly go through that statement. On Thursday, November 6th, the California Coastal Commission considered the mitigation package for coastal permits for the extension of operations of the Diablo Canyon Power Plant in San Luis Obispo County from 2025 to 2030. SB 846, passed in 2022, authorized PG&E to continue to operate the plant 5 years beyond its scheduled closure in 2025 and included provisions to address concerns about seismic safety, worker retention, federal funding, and more, including the disposition of the 12,000 acres of land that surround the plant. These lands are known as the Diablo Canyon lands, one of the most scenic, resource-rich, and undeveloped stretches of California's coastline. The issue in front of the Coastal Commission was whether mitigation measures proposed by PG&E and Commission staff were adequate to issue the permits needed by PG&E to keep Diablo Canyon running under SB 846. In short, the mitigation measures proposed were not adequate. And even the staff report itself stated that its plan was not sufficient to achieve consistency of the proposed project due to the large scale of environmental impacts. I, Senator Laird, wrote to the Coastal Commission on October 23, 2025, calling into question the proposed mitigation package and instead recommended a new plan calling for conservation easements and other measures to protect the full 12,000-acre Diablo Canyon lands, as well as to support public and tribal access and an adequate trail endowment. If anybody would like to see that letter, I have it with me and I can give you a copy. Dozens of speakers at the commission's meeting agreed, including Assemblymember Don Addis and San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Bruce Gibson. At the Coastal Commission meeting itself, individual members of the commission also agreed that full conservation of the Diablo Canyon lands was needed to offset environmental impacts associated with the Diablo Canyon's extension until 2030. The commission then paused deliberations, asking its staff and PG&E to work out a new proposal aligning with the commissioner's comments and direction. PG&E did not agree with a new proposal, and so the matter was continued 1 month until the commission's next meeting in December. Let's be clear, we are not attempting to reject this permit application to extend Diablo Canyon's operation until 2030. The issue before the commission is rather how much of the Diablo Canyon lands to protect. The commissioners, myself, and many stakeholders who testified for many hours at the hearing support full conservation of all the Diablo Canyon lands now. At the present time, PG&E does not. I'm hopeful that PG&E can rise to the challenge and use the extra month to figure out how to be supportive of greater protection now for all Diablo Canyon lands. This result is consistent with and supported by the extensive environmental analysis contained in the staff report, as well as by SB 846, an overwhelming vote of Slo County residents, the strategic vision of the Diablo Canyon Decommission Engagement Panel, and a 2023 report of the California Natural Resources Agency, among others. By doing so, PG&E can honor the community that has built and safely operated the Diablo Canyon Power Plant for over four decades. So that concludes his statement, but again, this isn't directly relevant to the issues before you today, but it's part of the whole package of the permits that PG&E will need to secure a license extension until 2030 under SB 846. If anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to me anytime. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you. Thank you to the staff for being here today. Thank you, everybody in attendance. My name is Andrea Chmelik. I am District Director for Assemblymember Don Addis. Assemblymember Addis represents the 30th Assembly District, which includes almost entire San Luis Obispo County, coastal Monterey County, and a part of coastal Santa Cruz County. She resides in Morro Bay, where she raised her family and served on the City Council. She is our neighbor and a member of our community here. She worked for over 20 years as a public school teacher in San Luis Coastal Unified School District, including during the impending closure and then when the extension decision was made by the state legislature in 2022. As a local and as a representative, Assemblymember Addis hears from the residents often at our office, at the grocery store, or at the coffee shops where she goes. SB 846 authorized a limited term extension of operations for the Diablo Canyon Power Plant. Although SB 846 was approved by the legislature just before she started serving there, like many other residents, Assemblymember Addis had concerns about the rushed process of passing SB 846 at the end of the legislative session and about transparency, accountability, adequate mitigation, and economic outcomes. The unresolved issues of extending the operation through 2030 under SB 846 include PG&E loan repayment, seismic and safety concerns, conservation of the 12,000 acres of Diablo Canyon lands, spent nuclear fuel storage plan, unitary tax shortfall for the county, school district, cities, and special districts, and once-through cooling impacts on the marine habitat and wildlife. While today's meeting is focused on the permits that are under the purview and centers on compliance with current discharge requirements and California's water quality standards, it is important to understand that the impacts of nuclear power plant operations are complex and intersectional. Today's meeting is an opportunity to make sure that we keep the promises we made and center the well-being of our residents, environmental health, biodiversity, economic vitality, and our future. We appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this conversation and encourage you to reach out to our office with any questions and concerns. We will do our diligence as your assembly representatives to uplift those to our partners in the state legislature and in the administration. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea, and apologies for calling you Anna. So want to thank you all for being here in person and online. Appreciate you spending time with us today. And we'll commence the meeting again on the NPDES and the 401 certification permits.
Ryan?
Yes. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Chair Gray. And thank you for the representatives from our elected officials in providing statements. I'm now going to introduce our staff. Our staff's going to provide a brief overview of the permitting efforts and what are in the permits, and then we'll have an opportunity for the public to ask questions of our staff. So to my right, we have Harvey Packard. He's a senior water resource control engineer. To my left, Phil Hammer. He's a senior environmental scientist. We also have in the room Mark Lemus, water resource control engineer and permit writer, Drew Fredericks, water resource control engineer, Tamara Anderson, supervising water resource control engineer, and Sophie Froelich, our legal counsel from the Office of Chief Counsel. I also want to acknowledge that we have staff from the State Water Board Division of Water Quality online, Renan Haragi. He's available to answer questions related to the once-through cooling policy. And then in the room, we also have Nick Cahill from our communications office at State Water Resource Control Board. And with that, I will turn it over to Harvey Packard for his presentation.
Thanks, Ryan. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's workshop. My name is Harvey Packard. I am a senior engineer with the Central Coast Water Quality Control Board. We're here today to talk about our permitting process for the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. And AGP, if we can share this. Okay, there we go. Okay, and outline today's presentation. We're going to talk about some background about the Central Coast Water Board and about Diablo Canyon, description of our permitting process, details of the NPDES permit and the Section 401 water quality certification. We'll talk about next steps in the process and how you can participate. A little bit about the Central Coast Water Board first. Some of you may not be familiar with the agency. We are a state agency with regional jurisdiction. Our official name is California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Central Coast Region. You may have also heard us called the Regional Board or Region 3, the Water Board, and the Central Coast Water Board. I'm going to try to use the term Central Coast Water Board consistently today. Our office is in San Luis Obispo. Our region includes all of the watersheds that drain to the ocean between Pescadero Creek in San Mateo County in the north and Rincon Creek in Ventura County in the south. And on the map where the green area shown as the Central Coast region. We don't supply your water. You have a city services district or a local water company that does that. We are responsible for protecting water quality in streams, lakes, groundwater, and the ocean. Let me read our mission statement. To preserve, enhance, and restore the quality of the Central Coast region's water resources for the protection of the environment, public health, and all beneficial uses for the benefit of present and future generations. So how and why are we involved with Diablo Canyon? The short answer is because operation of the power plant has the potential to affect water quality. Our involvement, though, is limited to water quality issues. There are many relevant topics that many in the community are interested in, but the Central Coast Water Board is focused on water quality. In some ways, it's easier to explain what we do by explaining what we don't do. So let me go through a couple of those things. We're not involved in the land conservation discussion around the power plant. Some of you may have attended the Coastal Commission meeting last week. Kara also talked about this. We're not directly involved with that. We're not directly involved in decommissioning efforts of the power plant. We're not involved in safety, including seismic issues. We're not involved with the nuclear waste storage issues or the economic issues, either related to operation of the facility or decommissioning of the facility. We are not directly involved either also in the mitigation for impingement entrainment. That is a close relative of ours, the State Water Resources Control Board. Let me explain a little bit what I mean by impingement and entrainment, in case you're not sure about that one. Impingement. Oh, next slide. Impingement is the marine life mortality that happens as a result of organisms getting stuck on intake screens at the plant. Entrainment is marine life mortality due to travel through the once through cooling system, including through pumps and the heating of water. So that's what I mean by impingement and entrainment, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. There's also many other agencies that are involved in Diablo Canyon, including San Luis Obispo County, Coastal Commission, Public Utilities Commission, the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission, EPA, which I don't have on the screen, State Water Resources Control Board. Let's talk a little bit about what happens at the plant that could affect water quality. This is a Google Maps overhead view showing the plant area. Hopefully everyone's familiar enough to know kind of what's going on here. There is a generator building. I can use a laser in the room, but sorry for those of you online who can't see it. The generator building, the two reactor units behind it, and there's a lot of other parking lots, buildings, and other things going on at the plant. What we're interested in at the water board is the flow of water in and out of the plant. And you see the blue area where cold water enters the intake structure in Intake Cove, travels through the plant, is heated, and then is discharged through the outfall structure to Diablo Cove. This is known as a once-through cooling system. Every day, about 2.5 billion gallons of seawater pass through the plant. It returns to the ocean up to 22 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than when it entered. That's a lot of heat. Over the years, it has affected the environment in Diablo Cove. PG&E also adds chlorine to the cooling water to control biofouling in the conduits. In addition to the large volume of cooling water, there are several what we call low-volume waste streams. These include reverse osmosis waste from the potable water plant, cleaning wastes from various activities at the plant, treated sewage generated by plant staff, low-level radioactive wastes, and those are regulated by the NRC and not by the water board. Various floor drains in parts of the facility and backwash from screens at the intake facility. There's also stormwater that falls on the plant and on the surrounding areas, and that potentially could affect water quality also, and we'll talk a little bit about that. The role of the Central Water Board, of the Central Coast Water Board, is to protect water quality, and we do that through two permits. One, you've heard the term NPDES already. That covers waste generated at the facility. And there's also a separate permit for stormwater discharges. We're not going to be talking about that one today. It's already in effect, and PG&E already has to comply with that one. There's also one certification that we're going to be talking about today, the Clean Water Act Section 401 Water Quality Certification. We'll be going into some detail on both of those, and both of them implement federal and state rules. A The Federal Clean Water Act requires everyone who discharges waste to surface waters to get an NPDES permit. The Central Coast Water Board has been delegated federal authority from EPA to issue these permits. California also has water quality rules that apply. The Central Coast Water Board issued its first permit for Diablo Canyon in the 1970s. The latest permit was issued in 1990, and that permit is still in effect. I want to talk for a little bit about why that permit is so old. There have been several renewal processes over the years that have started. None was completed for various reasons, including years-long processes to develop federal regulations to implement the Clean Water Act, development of state regulations to control impingement and entrainment in once-through cooling systems, alleged violations of permit conditions, including thermal effects and impingement entrainment. Those alleged violations are now settled through legal agreements between the Central Coast Water Board and PG&E. And lastly, PG&E's proposal to decommission the facility. Prior to 2022, PG&E was on track to decommission Diablo Canyon. And in 2022, the legislature adopted what we call Senate Bill 846. SB 846 recognized the need to continue operation of the facility to provide low-carbon energy while the state works on its climate change goals. The State Water Resources Control Board amended its policy on once-through cooling water to revise the compliance dates to October 31st, 2030 in accordance with SB 846 and with Water Code Section 13193.5. So let's get into some more detail about what's in the NPDES permit. Hopefully everyone's aware that it is posted on our website. The draft can be downloaded and reviewed, and we're offering that opportunity to everyone who's interested. The first section of the permit is prohibitions. Discharges of oil, trash, high-level radioactive wastes, and several other things are all prohibited. The heart of the permit are what we call effluent limitations. Effluent limitations are numeric targets for individual pollutants set at levels that protect the environment and human health and ensure compliance with all water quality standards. Some important limitations in the permit include flow, temperature, chlorine, metals including chrome, lead, mercury, nickel, silver, pollutants from the sewage treatment facility. There's also a new limit for a toxic compound known as tributyltin, which has been used in the past in coastal environments to prevent marine growth on ship hulls and marine structures. Because it is a new limitation, PG&E has requested additional time to study the source of tributyltin in the discharge as allowed by federal and state regulations. The draft permit includes interim limits for tributyltin and a schedule for compliance that PG&E must follow. The permit also requires several special studies. These include a toxicity study, which will be performed if triggered by sampling results, a study to evaluate and update the science on how cooling water is diluted as it enters Diablo Cove, a study on the effects of seafoam on water quality and marine life, collection of new impingement and entrainment data to determine any new or different effects on marine life, an evaluation of planning to account for climate change, including sea level rise, and an evaluation of the levels of bacteria and dissolved oxygen in the discharge and in ambient waters. The permit requires extensive monitoring and sampling. It requires continuation of the ecological monitoring program that has been underway at the facility since 1976, and it requires regular reporting to the Central Coast Water Board and the EPA. The last section of the permit is called the fact sheet, and it explains in detail the requirements of the permit and the legal rationale for the requirements. Some of the changes between the 1990 permit and the new draft include a few new discharge locations that weren't considered in the old permit. As part of the process to develop the draft, we did an extensive evaluation of existing water quality data to determine which pollutants were likely to cause exceedances of water quality standards. As a result of that evaluation, there was an effluent limitation for tributyl tin added, which I mentioned previously. Also, an effluent limitation for ammonia was removed because it was determined that the data don't indicate a likelihood of causing an exceedance of water quality standard. The new permit includes the special studies I mentioned. It also is different because several of what we call receiving water limitations have been removed. Receiving water limitations were included in the previous permit for several pollutants and conditions. And let me go into a little more detail on that. The prior permit, as I said, mentioned receiving water limitations based on water quality standards. A recent Supreme Court decision required that we take, not related to Diablo Canyon, but related to all NPDES permits. As a result of that decision, we had to take a close look at requirements in the permit that did not spell out specifically what PG&E must do or refrain from doing to achieve necessary water quality in the receiving waters. As a result, several receiving water limitations were removed, and new discharge prohibitions, new monitoring and reporting, and new special studies were added to replace the receiving water limitations. The additional monitoring and special studies could potentially generate new information. The permit includes reopener provisions that allow the Central Coast Water Board to reopen the permit before the five-year permit term expires to add terms to the permit that may be necessary based on information the board did not have at the time of permit adoption. The Central Coast Water Board can reopen the permit and add effluent limitations or prohibitions to protect water quality if warranted by the new information. That covers what I had planned to talk about on permit side of it. I'm going to ask Phil now to talk about the 401 water quality certification.
Good morning. My name is Phil Hammer. I'm a senior environmental scientist at the Central Coast Water Board. I oversee and manage the what we call the 401 program. I'll be discussing that program and the water quality certification associated with it. So in addition to the NPDES permit that Harvey discussed, we're also proposing issuance of what is called a Clean Water Act Section 401 water quality certification. These are permits that are often referred to as water quality certifications or 401s. The number 401 refers to a section of the Clean Water Act that enacts the requirement. Section 401 of the Clean Water Act requires certification from the state before a federal agency can issue a permit or license that may result in a discharge to waters of the United States. So water quality certification certifies that the federal licensed activity will comply with water quality requirements, which include water quality standards, effluent limitations, and other appropriate water quality requirements of state law. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission's license renewal for the Diablo Canyon Power Plant triggers the need for the water quality certification, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission cannot issue its license renewal until it receives a water quality certification from the Central Coast Water Board. The Diablo Canyon power plant discharges are closely regulated by detailed requirements and NPDES permits to ensure protection of water quality, as Harvey discussed. And for this reason, the water quality certification for the license renewal requires compliance with those NPDES permits in order to certify that the Diablo Canyon power plant discharges will comply with water quality standards. So these NPDES permits, as Harvey discussed, cover both wastewater discharges and industrial stormwater discharges. And the water quality certification also requires compliance with the state once through cooling policy. So once the water quality certification is adopted by the Central Coast Water Board, we will send it to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission so that the commission can proceed with its license renewal. Sums up the water quality certification part of this effort. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Phil. So what's next? So we are in the public comment period now. It ends December 8th. To have your comments considered by the Central Coast Water Board, you need to have them submitted by 5 p.m. on December 8th. The Central Coast Water Board will meet February 26th and 27th to consider adoption of the certification and the NPDES permit. So we encourage you to go to our website. Here's a screenshot, which you can't read, but there's a poster in the back with a QR form and a link. You can find the website at the link that Tracy read earlier. But anyway, there's information there to help you review the permit. There are links to download the permit. There's also a link there to add yourself to our email subscription list if you're not already on that list. So we encourage you to go to our website and get the information there. At this point, I'm going to ask Tracy to tell us what we're doing next.
We're running a little ahead of schedule, but we want to make sure all of you have an opportunity to fill out that form either online or in person and either ask a question clarifying some of the information you just received in the Water Board's presentation and or get in line for a public comment period, which will follow the Q&A. Let me make sure that you also, for those of you in the room, as Harvey just mentioned, there are boards in the room, and I will repeat the link to get to the online form, but on the board here is a QR code, and for everybody, whether it's in paper form or you use a link, it's https://bit.ly/47HK1E. It looks like an L, so make sure it's a 1 if you're typing it in, but you can also go to the Water Board page that Harvey just showed you and access it there. At this particular point, I know we are collecting those questions. If you have a paper copy and want to submit it, we're collecting them at the back table back there, and we'll get you in queue for a question. If you're online, we're automatically receiving those, and I'd like to, at this particular point, start a little bit early. We'll leave the deadline to submit those forms open for a bit since we're running ahead, and I'd like to turn the microphone over to Tamara from the Water Board, Tamara Anderson, for as she is going to address your questions and present them to the team.
Thank you, Tracy. So we only have one question so far. We are going to leave this open till 10:30, so if there's others, even if we move to the public comment period and you have a question that comes up, please feel free to submit those up until 10:30, and we can weave those in later in the process. So I'm going to read the first question we have. Is there mitigation for the once-through cooling system's impact on regional commercial and recreational fisheries, financially supporting California fishery monitoring projects and stock assessments? And we also have DWQ on Zoom if you need their help.
So thanks, Tamara. This is Harvey. I can start to answer that, and maybe Renan can give him a little more detail. Yes, the answer to that is yes. There is mitigation that PG&E is required to provide annually. I think it's around $12 million, and the intent there is to mitigate for the loss of marine life caused by impingement and entrainment. I don't have a good answer on exactly how that money is used. The mitigation funds are under the control of, I believe, the State Lands Commission and the Ocean Protection Council. If Renan is available and has any additional information, I'll let him add some.
Can you hear me? This is Renan Howergy, DWQ. That's correct, yes. Harvey. The mitigation is basically a payment that the facility has to provide, and the Ocean Protection Council receives it and determines what's applicable projects that that funding can be used for. So it should be, and should entail projects that they see as necessary and applicable, and most likely could definitely apply to the protection of fisheries.
Thanks, Renan. And to add, be a little more clear, this is completely separate from the mitigation that the Coastal Commission is talking about, which has more to do with access and conservancy of Diablo Canyon lands.
All right, we had another question come in. Can you please clarify the responsibility of the State Water Resources Control Board for impingement and entrainment, and compare that with the Central Coast Water Board's responsibility?
Yes, good question. So the State Water Resources Control Board has adopted a policy, state regulations that govern how we regulate power plants and the impingement entrainment that occurs through cooling systems. So that policy has detailed requirements for all power plants in California, including Diablo Canyon. It has specific provisions for Diablo Canyon. The permit that is out in draft, our draft NPDES permit, includes requirements and provisions that are designed to implement the once through cooling policy adopted by the State Water Resources Control Board. So the State Board adopts the policy. The Central Coast Water Board implements the policy through our permit. I did mention also that as a result of SB 846, the deadline for PG&E's compliance with the once through cooling policy has been extended to October 31st, 2030. So hopefully that answers that question.
So those are all the questions we have for now. Like I said, we'll leave the QR code open and live for the next few minutes until 10:30, but we're going to move to public comments.
Let me, exactly, thank you, Tamara. We're going to move to oral and public comments, but again, just to make sure for all those of you who are online, it's the bit.ly code bit.ly/47CH. K, and it's a 1E. So feel free to continue to submit your questions as we go into our next section of the meeting, which is of this workshop meeting, which is our oral comment period. Again, if you have submitted an online form, we will recognize you to speak and ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes. We're going to time those comments to make sure everybody has an opportunity to be in the queue and to present their perspectives on this. Let me, if there are no other questions coming in while I'm doing that, let me turn it over to Kai and Christina to bring in our first commenter or participant to provide a comment.
So I'll announce the three folks who will be going in order, and then we'll start in the room. First, we have David Wiseman with the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. Then we have Jean Nelson, California for Green Nuclear Power, Inc. And then we'll go to the Zoom, Gladys Bustos from MGS Green.
if you can hear me, for those of you who are in the room, in that order, if you would please stand, tell us your name again and any affiliation, we will bring the microphone to you, and then we'll turn it over to our team for the online comments, and you will be unmuted at that particular point that you're recognized for speaking. But first one in the room, Christina again. David?
Good morning. Good morning. David Weissman, Executive Director, Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. And I guess my concern or slash question is this. Mr. Packard described that the first part of this, that was the discharge NPDES, was a five-year permit. Therefore, that permit will be issued and will have an expiration date of sometime in either late 2030 or something to that, and that does correspond with SB 846, which also expires, as you pointed out, October 31st of 2030. It's the second issue that was brought up by Mr. Hammer, the CWA 401, triggered by the NRC license renewal application. But my question is there, where is the analogous end date on that permit, if it does indeed have one, or that approval? Should it not be as well conditioned to sunset on October 31st, 2030, therefore placing it in synchronicity with the SB 846? Now, we know that an NRC license renewal can be, as their regulations say, up to 20 years, and PG&E has requested 20 years. But that would put it out of compliance with the current state law. You are a state agency, as is the Coastal Commission. And so my question is, what is the plan to synchronize those two items to the same time frame, that is to say a 2030 sunset date as well? It has been done certainly in other states. You're probably well aware at the Indian Point Reactor in New York State, even though they were granted a 20-year license renewal by the NRC, an agreement between the State of New York Environmental Protection Agency, or your equivalent regarding the discharges to the Hudson River, as opposed to the Pacific Ocean, required PG&E to go back and amend their license renewal to an earlier date as prescribed by the state. That takes us back to October 31st of 2030. And so I'd like to know what the Regional Water Board here's take is on that particular timing. Thank you.
Let me preference that this is our oral comment period. If we can, if you'd like to address that question now or hold it, we can continue on with oral comment and proceed there. And then we're going to take a short break in a little bit, and we can then sequence the remaining questions if there are more coming in. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Past our little break, and then we'll continue on with our public comment. Reminder that everybody has 3 minutes. We have a clock on the screen for you, and if you have any concerns about that, let me know. But Christina, who is next in our queue?
Good morning. My name is Dr. Gene Nelson. I'm the president and senior legal researcher for CGNP Californians for Green Nuclear Power. The record of the past four decades shows that Diablo Canyon is designed and continues to operate with a barely detectable adverse environmental impact to the marine biota. Part of the problem is, in my opinion, is misapplication of the EPA 316B regulations regarding waste heat, which are applicable to inland waterways but are inapplicable to Diablo Canyon, which is located on a rocky coastline and lacks an estuary. The plant's waste heat is discharged essentially into the world's largest heat sink, the Pacific Ocean. To put Diablo Canyon's waste heat into perspective, it is comparable to the heat input from the sun directly overhead of a few square miles of ocean. In both cases, the heat drives evaporation of water into the atmosphere, which eventually precipitates as rain or snow. Furthermore, In light of the lack of harmful air or water pollution from nuclear power plants, 316B regulations provide for significant exemptions from these regulations for nuclear power plants. I recently toured Diablo Canyon. I noted the abundant sea life on Lion Rock. Prior to 2001, the Outfall Cove was extremely popular for fishing. CGNP employs sea lions as an indicator species. Per the experience at SeaWorld, these carnivorous marine mammals consume between 15 and 40 pounds of fish and cephalopods each day. Lion Rock is the largest island in the Diablo Canyon Outfall Cove at about 4.1 acres. Widest points, 500 feet east, north to south, east to west, 375. The photo I sent you and the following photos were from PG&E. There are some sea lions shown on the back haunches of the lion. The white color is the dried sea lion waste products from consuming the abundant sea life. I provide a close-up of the sea lions like we saw from the PG&E boat. Tom Jones banged the side of the boat with a rubber hose. The sea lions came off Lion Rock as they thought it was feeding time. They stayed away from the boat. The sea lion population in Diablo Canyon continues to grow. The peak number was 1,368 in a 1979 Cal Poly Slow Master's thesis. I shared a recent photo with thousands of sea lions on Lion Rock at Diablo Canyon in the background. PG&E's 2024 NRC license renewal application shows the population during 2017 to 2020 peaked at 7,595, a more than 5.5-fold increase. A 2025 paper noted great white sharks were congregating offshore of Diablo Canyon to eat some of these sea lions. This is clear evidence of the area's high biological productivity isn't being harmed by Diablo Canyon. Keep Diablo Canyon running. Thank you.
Next commenter is online. And if you can announce that person and also bring them, take them off mute.
Our next person online is Gladys Bustos from MGSS Green, LLC. On. So we'll continue on to Madison Schroeder. If you are online from Generation Atomic, please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Great. Chair and members of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, my name is Madison Schroeder and I'm here on behalf of Generation Atomic. We are a nonprofit grassroots organization that advocates for a world where atomic energy is broadly used for the benefit of all people and the planet. Our members have been actively participating in issues related to the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant since 2016. I am making my comments in support of the timely issuance of the NPDES permit renewal and Section 401 certification. Senate Bill 846 authorized continued operations through 2030, recognizing Diablo Canyon's essential role in providing a significant portion of California's carbon-free electricity during our energy transition. The CPUC approved extended operations for both units through the end of this decade, and the facility continues to serve as critical infrastructure for the state's climate goals. The NPDES permit thoughtfully balances environmental protection with operational requirements. The effluent limitations for discharge point 001 and other outfalls, combined with the monitoring and reporting requirements, provide a sound framework for protecting water quality. The permit establishes clear discharge specifications and receiving water limitations consistent with the Ocean Plan while allowing continued operations. Timely issuance of this permit and the Section 401 certification is essential for NRC license renewal and California's continued access to carbon-free power. Nuclear facilities cannot operate without valid permits, and delays would create uncertainty not just for the facility, but for the state's ability to meet its clean energy commitments. This permit provides the necessary regulatory framework for continued operations while maintaining strong water quality protections that have proven effective over decades of monitoring. The board has the opportunity to enable continued carbon-free generation while ensuring robust environmental safeguards remain in place. We respectfully urge the board to issue this permit and appreciate your careful consideration of this important matter. Thank you.
Hoping you can hear me. Thank you. We are closing out the opportunity to submit your request to ask a question or comment at 10:30, so please make sure to get that in. Before we take a slight break, let's take one more online commenter, and then we will take a short break and then return for a few more questions that have come in.
The next to speak is Jordan Shaw from Mamba Real Estate. If you are online, please go ahead and unmute yourself. The next person will be Ryan Pickering. If you are online still, please go ahead and unmute yourself. Next will be Firshtek Bunk, Mothers of Nuclear.
Hi, thank you so much. Can you hear me all right?
3 minutes to share your perspective with us.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead and state your name and your organization.
Thank you. My name is Firshtek Bunk. I'm currently working as an operations associate for Mothers for Nuclear. I was born and raised in California, living in San Luis Obispo and Los Osos for the past 7 years. I have a physics degree from Cal Poly with a minor in Indigenous Studies of Natural Resources and the Environment. First, I appreciate your commitment generally to complying with SB 846 and recognizing Diablo as an integral part of California's clean energy resources. More specifically, I appreciate the and support the decision to like supply, update, and maintain the NPDES permit. I appreciate and support the role Diablo has in providing clean, low-carbon energy that is needed by California and our clean energy transition, and I appreciate that that's recognized in the permit. I support the provision allowing the Water Board to modify or reissue this order based on the need for continued operation to maintain the reliability of the electric system. I think this is a wonderfully supportive provision for the continued energy access of Californians as demand continues to increase. I appreciate the permit's dedication to ongoing environmental studies and its science-based regulation. I do agree with Gene Nelson's earlier comment that considering Diablo's thermal discharge is likely unnecessary considering its minimal impact on the ocean environment. I do understand that what I'm about to say may be outside of your purview and more in the policy adoption of the State Water Board, but I do think there should be long-term considerations and discussions of Diablo's once through cooling. Diablo Canyon has the propensity to be a necessary clean energy asset to California through 2045, according to the NRC license, and maybe through the 2060s, considering the lifespans of general nuclear power plants. In last week's California Coastal Commission hearing, PG&E explained that it would require moving more earth than was moved to form the Panama Canal and billions of dollars to replace the once-through cooling systems with cooling towers. I think we should all be thinking generally about alternatives to the current once-through cooling requirements for Diablo's far future, especially as energy replacements will be far more degradative to our planet. And this should be discussed sooner rather than later so as not to delay future legislative extensions. I also appreciate your proposal to issue the 401 water quality certification, and thank you generally so much for your work.
Maybe not, there it is. If I get it situated correctly, then you can hear me. Thank you for your comments. We are going to take a 2 or 3 minute break to make sure that we have all the questions appropriately in the queue. We'll address those, give you a chance to return phone calls or get a bottle of water, and then we'll convene back here at 10:35, start with the questions that we have now received, and then continue on with our public comment period. Okay, Central Coast Water Board is reconvening our meeting on the NPDES permit and the 401 certification. We're reconvening here in the room and online. As I mentioned before our little break, please hydrate. We hope you got a chance to take care of some business. We're back, and we have a couple more questions in the queue, so we're going to address those. Anything that had some, during public comment, had some questions embedded in them, the Water Board will respond at a later time than this meeting. So let me turn it back over to Tamara Anderson for the questions that are in the queue. And again, we ask you to maintain your 3-minute limit.
All right, thank you, Tracy. All right, here's another question for the panel. Can you please elaborate on why it was determined that ammonia was removed from the permit?
Yes. So I'm going to refer you to pages 38 and 39 of the fact sheet in the draft permit, where it talks about the water quality analysis that we did. So using data from sampling, results collected at the plant, there were hundreds of different pollutants measured. There were six that came back that the data said there's never been an exceedance of the standard in the previous permit. It's not likely there will be an exceedance in the next permit. Therefore, the rules say you have to remove that effluent limitation. So I mentioned ammonia. The other five are arsenic, cadmium, copper, zinc, and chronic toxicity. So there are no longer effluent limitations in the once through cooling discharge for those six limitations. They're still, PG&E still has to measure them in the effluent and report the results, and will redo this analysis in 5 years if the permit gets renewed. But for this permit, the regulations require that those six be removed.
Thank you, Harvey. I'm going to move on to the next question. In what manner is tributyltin being used at the power plant, and could this be prohibited?
So we are not saying that tributyltin is or has been used at the plant. We're not sure why it was detected in a couple of samples that were collected at the plant. But since it was detected, the analysis said we had to include a permit in the limit. So PG&E is going to develop a study plan to look at tributyltin in the effluent, in the intake, and in background ambient to determine what the levels are, what the potential sources are, and what they can do to meet the effluent limitation.
Okay, I have another question for you. So section 6.3.6.1.1.1 says that at least 6 months prior to the expiration date of this order, the discharger shall complete and submit an updated impingement and entrainment study. Is that a typo? What good is an entrainment study 6 months before the plant shuts down? Shouldn't the study be 6 months after the adoption of the order?
Yes, good question. So we did have quite a bit of internal discussion about this point. We need to recognize that there are a lot of existing impingement and entrainment data. It's more than 10 years old, and the EPA guidelines suggest that it get updated if it's 10 years old or more. It's a multi-year process, potentially, to collect the data and evaluate it, and to require that before adoption of this permit would delay the permit. So what we've required in the permit is that PG&E update the data and submit it with its application for renewal of the permit. So that's 6 months before expiration date. And Sophie wants to add a little bit more to that.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody, if you would like us to further consider your questions, to submit them in writing prior to the end of the comment period, and we can include them in the responses to comment and or possibly make changes in the permit based on them.
Thanks, Sophie.
So those are all the questions we have, so we can move back to the public commenters.
Not sure that, there we go. I have a slow mic here this morning. Thank you. Let's go back to our 3-minute oral comment period. There are 6 or 7 more in the queue. Christina, may all online, may I ask you to notify the next 3 people so they can prepare.
Next, we have Jennifer Clay, James Hope, and then Jane Swanson. Jennifer Clay, go ahead and unmute yourself. You have 3 minutes.
Great. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Thank you. Hi, my name is Jennifer Clay. I'm a resident of San Luis Obispo, professor of nuclear physics and chair of the physics department at Cal Poly, although my comments today are I'm speaking on my own behalf. I want to first thank the board for your service to protect the quality of water in the Central Coast region. I am in favor of extended operation of Diablo Canyon because of the benefits provided by the largest clean energy producer in California, providing enough power for 4 million Californians without adding greenhouse gas emissions to the atmosphere. The NRC's environmental impact report determined that any alternative to replace Diablo Canyon's power would cause significantly greater negative impacts on numerous environmental resources. I was pleased to hear in the introduction today that consideration of the effects of climate change are a part of the mandate for the permit evaluation, and I strongly urge the board to weigh these impacts on all Californians and indeed the world in the final decision and consideration. Renewal of the permit and the certification are crucial to enable the environmental benefits of continued operations to extend to all Californians. And I just urge you to consider that fully, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Up next,
Hope. If you are online, James Hope, please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, can you hear me?
Can.
Okay. Yes, my name is James Hoff, and I'm here to express my support for the board's tentative decision to issue a permit that will allow extended operation of the Diablo Canyon plant. I also appreciate the board's acknowledgement of Diablo's climate and energy supply benefits in Section 2.7 of the tentative NPDES. The overall net environmental impact of closing Diablo Canyon would be overwhelmingly negative. It would also have negative impacts on grid reliability, power costs, and the local economy. Any environmental benefits of closing the plant, such as improvements to the local coastal environment, are speculative and very small in the grand scheme of things. For the foreseeable future, the net effect of Diablo's closure would be its replacement by fossil sources, which would result in increased air pollution and CO2 emissions. This will have significant public health and climate impacts. Even the construction of new wind and solar capacity has environmental impacts, such as significant land use, mining impacts, and impacts on local wildlife. Any alternative replacement sources for Diablo are likely to have a larger environmental impact than just keeping the existing, already built Diablo Canyon plant running. Diablo Canyon is California's largest carbon-free source of electricity. It provides roughly 17% of the state's total carbon-free power. It also provides reliable, non-intermittent power that will be needed to maintain grid reliability. Voluntarily closing the plant would set California way back and make it much harder for California to meet its climate goals. Permitting extended operation of Diablo Canyon is the right decision. Thank you.
Next, we have Jane Swanson. After that will be Bruce Campbell. And then after that will be Jennifer Clay. Jane Swanson, please go ahead and unmute yourself if you are still online.
Yes, Jane Swanson, board member, San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. From a layperson's common sense view, I cannot comprehend how dumping any amounts of lead, mercury, cyanide, etc., plus a maximum of 2,760 million gallons of heated water into the ocean per day can be acceptable. The criteria I read in the tentative order states that the discharges from Diablo must not, quote, have a reasonable potential to cause or contribute to adverse impacts on water quality or beneficial uses of receiving waters, unquote. No fair justifying all this poison on the grounds that it will be diluted by the vastness of the ocean. That is the type of rationale used by industries since the Industrial Revolution. And look at the extreme harm caused by the cumulative effects of these practices. Diablo Canyon is not necessary, and it causes an unacceptable level of harm to the marine environment to be allowed to continue operations. I urge this water board to deny these permits. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Next, we have Bruce Campbell. If you are online, please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Hi, Bruce Campbell from Los Angeles. I attended the waste discharge hearings back in 1981 and 1982 for Diablo Canyon, and they seem to have even added certain kinds of waste streams, even, but back then there was still also the 2.6, 2.7 billion gallons of water a day, and then I guess that going through the tubing and all, as well as some metal cleaning, I noticed it from time to time, and produces a massive amount of effluent. And as Ms. Swanson said, the solution to pollution is not dilution, even though it more or less is in the spirit of PG&E. They keep saying Diablo Canyon is carbon-free. It spews radioactive carbon-14, and also nuclear energy has the highest carbon footprint of any non-nuclear or non-fossil fuel energy source. And most of that carbon footprint comes from out-of-state uranium enrichment. Just because it's done out-of-state does not mean it does not have a serious carbon footprint. And so you do all this great work on smaller permits up and down the coast, but when there's a giant investor-owned utility, all of a sudden staff is supposed to bow down and act like all these maze of conditions are being met just because some lawyer tells them to say it's being met. Anyway, please get some courage, as we need on the national and beyond level these days, and deny the permits to PG&E for the MPDES and others. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your comment. Dan will be next online. If you are still online, please go ahead and unmute yourself. After that will be Gladys Bustos and then Jordan Shaw. Dan, are you online? All right. Dan is not online, so we will go ahead and proceed next to Gladys. Dan, oh, we're going to go back to Dan. Dan, you are online. If you go ahead and unmute yourself, you can speak. All right, we can come back to that. Gladys is not online, so we will proceed to Jordan Shaw. If you are still online with us, please go ahead and unmute yourself. We will proceed to Ryan Pickering. We have gone through our list of comments. commenters.
If any of those last four who requested to comment are still online, please let us know. Also, if you come online, if you're unmuted and come online, please give us your name again and your affiliation. Do we have anybody? No, and are there any other comments in the room today? Having none, we can conclude our, oh, yes. Yes.
Yes, we will respond to the comments during our response to comment period. So after the close of the comment period, we respond to all comments. We'd encourage you to include that question in a written comment, but we will respond to the questions that were provided today.
I also wanted to share just one follow-up. There was a discussion earlier about the once through cooling mitigation program, and I just wanted to provide a resource to those in the room and online. If you want to find out more about that program, I'm going to read off, because we don't have a way to put it in the chat, how you access information about that mitigation program. So you can go to the California Ocean Protection Council's website at opc.ca.gov. And then click on, at the top of the screen, there's a funding button, and then scroll down, and my internet's not working right now, but it says something along the lines of once through cooling interim mitigation program. So just wanted to provide that resource.
Mic on, we have one more commenter who would like to be unmuted.
NH, if you are online, go ahead and please unmute yourself. State your name and your organization.
Hi, I'm Natalie Herendine, Executive Director from Monterey Waterkeeper, and we work across California Central Coast. I submitted it online, but for some reason it didn't go through. I want to respect that the considerations here are very complicated. I would strongly consider that we do not understand the impact of infringement or entrainment since the data is 10 years old, and maybe the permit should not be issued until this report is completed. I would also second that the solution to pollution is not dilution, as their heavy metals and chemicals do accumulate, and the discharging of sewage is going to increase ocean acidification, which is a problem in California Central Coast. And then my last thing is, I understand this plant will support about 9% of California's power needs. But if the board has the ability to limit the period of the permit to 5 years in accordance with California law, then I would recommend we limit the permit of the period and reassess how things are in 5 years. And maybe there's not a need for this nuclear power plant at that point, and that a middle ground could be met to meet the needs of California energy, but also will strongly consider the impacts of the environment. And while this board doesn't have a consideration or doesn't have a say in the conservation of the lands, I hope that, you know, everybody does support that PG&E should try to conserve the entire area at Diablo Canyon and try to mitigate as much as possible, even though that is not really directly mitigating what will occur by discharging into our bays. So thank you for your time.
Last check, and if there is anybody in the queue or online that has not had an opportunity to provide their comments. We're receiving none at this moment.
I see a hand raised. Ryan Pickering, you can unmute yourself if you'd like.
Thank you, everyone. My name is Ryan Pickering. I'm a California energy policy researcher. The culmination of my research over the last 5 years, I want to point out that Yaktilhini is the only tribe with a documented ancestral and cultural claim to the Diablo Canyon lands. Their connection to this coastline is supported by extensive historical, linguistic, and archaeological evidence and affirmed by state and federal agencies. And I feel like any future disposition of these lands must center their leadership, their vision, and their stewardship. Senate Bill 846, Section 9.712 makes this clear. Quote, the commission shall include considerations of tribal interests in its review, including the opportunity for tribes to acquire lands that are of cultural, historical, or tribal significance, end quote. The SB 846 further specifies that the authority for land disposition resides with the California Public Utility Commission. Any pending action that seeks to dictate or constrain the use of these lands is on the California Public Utility Commission, and it's for all Californians to protect this coastline. So within this framework, PG&E's proposed mitigation measures should not include encumbrances on the land itself. A wiser and more forward-looking alternative would be a mitigation fee to support ocean rewilding, specifically Yaktichu Tichu Yaktilhini's abalone restoration initiative in the project area about 25 miles north of Diablo Canyon. This idea honors tribal stewardship, it meets our ecological goals, and it eliminates legal exposure for us not following the letter of the law in SB 846, which clearly states that we must prioritize tribal acquisition of these lands. And furthermore, by practicing with the abalone farm and that mitigation first, we can move towards tribal return of these lands in the future, which is, I think, what we're all pushing for. So it's clear that California wants this plant to remain online. Diablo Canyon is the state's largest single source of clean, reliable electricity, delivering baseload energy to millions of residents while protecting ratepayers and reducing carbon emissions. The facility operates in harmony with nature. Finally, I urge this body to remove Northern Chumash Tribal Council from this proceeding. They are known to be not native people, and as determined by the California courts in 2017 and reaffirmed by the new book, Who Gets to Be Indian by Dina Gilio Whitaker, which documents how Northern Chumash Tribal Council has deceived the public for decades. This charade must end as part of California's responsibility to protect actual tribal communities and uphold the integrity of tribal consultation. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to do one more check for any other participants that were online who did not get to speak.
Jane Swanson, we had asked, we had called your name earlier. If you wanted to go ahead and speak, you are unmuted. Please go ahead. Please state your name and your organization. Oh,
Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for not only their, as the Water Board would as well, not only your comments, your participation, and your questions today. Harvey, and do you mind going to that last slide? There are next steps. Harvey mentioned them earlier during his remarks, but we want to provide them to you because the comment period will last between now and December 8th. And those are for the written comments that we highly encourage everybody to go onto the site and provide a written comment based on what you've heard today or other questions that you may have. Please put them in writing. Those do become part of the administrative record. If you have their next steps, not only it, thank you, Harvey, that was, or who's ever controlling the screen, December 8th at 5 p.m. They can be delivered delivered by mail or to the Water Board office. Harvey's contact information is on the screen right now, but it's harvey.packard@waterboards.ca.gov if you want to reach out to him based on what you've heard today or have additional questions. Also, as these proceedings go forth, not only in the comment period, but the review by the State Water Board in early or end of February, if you want to get on the mailing list for future notifications, please go onto the Water Board site, and there's a sign up on the bottom right of the page that Harvey showed you. So there are ways to stay connected and stay involved and stay informed. If that If there is nothing else for the Water Board team today, thank you very much for being here, and we will conclude this meeting.